It's a joy to be with all of you this morning who are for life. It's a special group that is all over the world. Wherever you go, if you're pro-life, you're immediately accepted by pro-lifers. It's a beautiful thing. And it's a fitting way we begin this day with praising God at the Eucharist. And so let us begin in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. My brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare to celebrate these sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I've greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words and what I've done and what I have failed to do through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. And let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, so that we may merit what you promise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Behold, I will bring them back to the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water, on a level road, so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our hearts to Thee, Lord, as we are in joy.
made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for our sins. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset by weakness. And so, for this reason, must make sin offerings for himself, as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you." Just as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And so they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I was with a group of young people after a mass. It was a low mass. And some of the young people said, "Well, that was boring." And I said, "Boring?" And they said, "Yes, that was boring." I said, "For me, it was frightening. And it should be for you." And they looked at me, "What's frightening about it?" I said, "Don't you realize what happened? At that boring mass, God asked for your life. And you said, 'Yes, take it.'" "I did?" "Yes, you did." "The priest said to you, 'Don't you remember? My brothers and sisters, let us pray that my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.'" And you said, "Amen. Take my life." And that's not boring. That's frightening, because God's going to take you up on that one. When we come to Mass, you see, God's sacrifice is complete, but it's made present to us sacramentally in order that you may now offer your sacrifice and my sacrifice to Christ, giving new praise to God. And doing that is not boring. It's interesting, the gospel we heard this morning is the end of chapter 10 of the Gospel of Mark. It's a centerpiece, really. 9 and 10 in the Gospel of Mark is a centerpiece of that gospel. Mark, is, if you read it, he's always speaking about our Lord saying, "Don't tell anyone, don't tell me who I am, don't tell, until. And in 9 and 10, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to Mount Tabor. And he reveals himself. He's transfigured before them. And they hear the voice. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved son. And they were all enthused. They come back down. And three times after that, Jesus says, I'm going to be crucified. God's beloved son. But they don't hear it. They don't want to hear it. Right? And like the young people, they don't hear what Jesus is saying to them. And then he says to them, you want to follow me? You have to be sacrificed. If you want to be great, you have to serve the rest. You have to give your life. And they don't hear it. They don't hear it. They're too interested and anxious of getting first place when he enters into the kingdom. When he enters into the kingdom. And then the irony of the situation is our Lord is revealing himself throughout the Mark's gospel as the son of David, the son of Daniel coming on the clouds, having the son of God. And it's not until this moment of Bartimaeus the blind man that the full revelation is made present, that the secret is now out. The people who have eyes to see, they do not see. And the man who is blind, he's the one with faith sees. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And now the secret's out. It's the end. And now, we're starting chapter 11, our Lord manifests himself as the suffering servant of Yahweh, the priest. He goes triumphantly into Jerusalem to give his life. To give his life. That we may have life. It's important for us to understand that because, you know, that is what the Mass is about. There was a priest called Father Chizek, Father Walter Chizek. Father Walter Chizek was a Jesuit priest who went to Russia to bring, actually, Christ to Russia. But when he got there, he got arrested as a Vatican spy, and he was sent to 30 years in the gulags. And it was incredible. They thought he would die. The only thing you'd get in the morning is a little bit of gruel. And after that, you would work all day and you had to wait till the next morning to get a little bit of gruel. And that was it. Most people died. And he said, you know, some people would get into the camp, bread and wine. Bread and wine. And the word would go forth, bread and wine, bread and wine. And everybody knew what that meant. Because he went into prison before Vatican II. And for the older people here, you remember before Vatican II. If you were going to receive the Eucharist, you could not take a drop of water for midnight before. Not a drop. Total, complete fast. And they went in and they thought that was still the rule of the church. And here are these people in prison. It was just a little bit of gruel, and when they heard that bread and wine has gone, that no one would take the gruel in the morning. That meant they would go 2 days without even a drop of water. And then at lunchtime, which was not lunch, they would just give a break, but no food. They would put on a clump of trees, they'd put the bread and wine. And Father Chizek, at the risk of his life, he would go over, and from memory, he would recite the Eucharistic prayer of the bread and wine. And everybody would come one by one at the risk of their lives to receive the Eucharist in that gulag. He said it was one of the finest masses he ever offered. And he said, everybody thought he was dead, but suddenly two spies were caught in Englewood, New Jersey, and there was a trade between the State Department here and the Russian State Department and the Vatican, and Father Chizek, who had outlived, he finally got out of camp. He should have died, and he was bringing Christ to Russia. It's interesting. He said that he went on an Easter vigil, started to offer the Eucharist, and he said people came all day, all night. They heard that there's a priest, there's a Eucharist. He said 9 o'clock the next morning, I was still giving out the Eucharist on the previous night. The faith was not dead. The faith is not dead. And what happens, he was suddenly picked up and in his transfer of prisoners brought back to America. You see, in Russia, they closed the churches or they turned them into department stores. In fact, all through Russia. And he came back here and he came here, he said, he saw our churches were open. You know, thanks be to God, they never closed your churches. And then he said, he went inside the churches, and they were empty. Empty. And he said, who did this to you? Who did this to you? You have become, without realizing it, in the name of choice, atheist. We were forced into atheism, but you're practical atheist. On Sunday, you go and you shop at the department stores. The sports becomes your God. You have left out God in every area. Well, who did this to you? Who did this to you? And suddenly he realized, yes, we in the West did not resist. In the name of jargon, a choice, and all this other nonsense, we did not resist. And what the communists could not do, secularism has done. The excluding of God. People not going to church, going to shop at the arenas, at the shopping mills and the sports arenas. That's what the communists tried to make them do, but they wouldn't. They suffered. They died. And of course, the church in Eastern Europe today is rising up with a newness that's refreshing. Refreshing. So I say to you this morning, the apostles did not understand. They did not understand that Jesus was going in to be crucified, and he was asking his apostles to do likewise and to give their lives for the sake of the kingdom of God and to accept suffering as Jesus did, as a source of salvation. And so you and I, when this Mass is finished, it has only begun. When we leave this hall, we have to now live it. And as pro-lifers, you will be tested. You will be tried. Believe me. Believe me. If you are, if you speak the truth, if you are like Christ proclaiming the gospel of life. But fear not. Fear not. God will be with you. And that suffering that comes from it be a source of great grace for you. There are two things I would just mention to you in closing. How to suffer. Well, there was a man called Frank McCabe. I knew him from early on in my priesthood. He's about 6'4". He was a father of 10 children. Wherever he went, he was the life of the party. Okay? He did good all the time. And God struck him down with suffering and better pain. He blinded him like Bartimaeus. And he actually lost one of his legs, and he was dying. And the word came from his children, Father, Frank is in the hospital. Will you go speak to him? And I went, and I was going to the hospital, and I said, what do I say to this man in this bed of pain? What do I say to him? He's blind. He's limited. This man was active in doing it. And I said to him, Frank, and he recognized my voice immediately. He says, is that you, Father Phil? I said, yes. And then he said to me, you know, he said, and this is a lesson to learn. He said, you know, most of my life, I went around doing God's will. That was easy. That was easy. Jesus did that. Most of his life, he went around doing the will of the Father. He said, but at the end, he said he had to accept the chalice of suffering. He had to accept the crucifixion. He had to accept dying out of love for each of us. Now, there was the challenge. There was the challenge. And he said, that's not easy. He said, you know, but a few nights ago, as I laid here in this bed of pain, everything changed for me. And I realized, yes, like Jesus, I spent most of my life going around doing good. You know that. I said, yes, I do, Frank. He said, but here I lie in this bed of pain. I cannot do anything. I cannot do the Father's will. And suddenly, lying here in this bed of pain, looking up, I realized, my God, at the end, Jesus was limited to a bed of pain on the cross. And when he was involved in that final hours, it was his finest hours. He was a priest. This was the sacrifice. And he was offering up his sufferings at this moment to redeem the world. And as the Father looked down upon him, he looked upon him with love, and he knew these are his finest hours in this bed of pain on the cross. He said, suddenly I realized, The Father looks down upon me. And he looks down upon me, and these are my finest hours. These are my finest hours in which I do God's will. And I have peace. I have peace. And the last thought I give you is this. When you accept God's will, besides doing God's will, you get peace. Peace. But there's another step. There's another step. There's a Dr. Chu who ran the Helpers for Me in Connecticut. And his wife was dying of cancer. A marvelous woman. And she was dying of cancer. And he said, she taught me in the final hours of her life. She said, you know, if you accept God's will, accept suffering, you have peace. He said, I know, I see that in your face. She said, but there's another step, you know, and I have learned it. And what is that? He said, if you, beyond acceptance, you embrace the sufferings, the cross that God gives to you, you will experience pure joy that the world cannot understand. And she said, I have embraced the cross of Christ, and my life now is pure joy. Be not afraid to accept the cross of Christ. Embrace it, and it will be joy for you and salvation for the world. Let us pray at this time for the universal needs of the church and our own particular needs. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we ask that you grant these petitions as always through your Son, and we ask you to strengthen our faith as together we publicly proclaim our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands, who have become for us the bread of life. Blessed be God forever. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands, it will become our spiritual drink. Blessed be God forever. Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Amen. Lord, we pray, look on the offerings we make to your majesty, that whatever is done by us in your service may be directed above all to your glory, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For when your children were scattered afar by sin, through the blood of your Son and the power of the Spirit, you gathered them again to yourself, that a people formed as one by the unity of the Trinity make the body of Christ and the temple, made the body of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit, might, to the praise of your manifold wisdom, be manifested as the church. And so, in company with the choirs of angels, we praise you with joy as we proclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and the blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity. Together with Benedict our Pope and Robert our Bishop, his auxiliary bishops, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. Amen. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may always be free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Peace be with you, Father. God bless you. Peace be with you, Father. Peace be with you, God. Peace be with you. God bless you. God bless you. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter my roof. But only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. May the body of Christ keep me safe for eternal life. The body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ. Let us pray. May your sacraments, O Lord, we pray, perfect in us what lies within, and that what we now celebrate in signs, we may one day possess in truth, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Mass is ended. Let's go forth in the peace and love of Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.